Lord, we thank you that you sent your Son to be our salvation, to be our Savior, to be the one who brings us back and bridges that gap between us and you, Lord, and allows us to be able to have that relationship with you yet again that Adam had with you in the Garden of Eden. Lord, I thank you that we're able to spend all eternity with you because of your Son, Jesus. May we worship you daily, not just today, but always. And may we meet you now in this moment as we read from your word. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. So we're in the Gospel of John. We've been going through there. I've made a little bit of progress. We're in John chapter 6, verse 32 through 40. And those of you I told, I kind of tweaked my knee on Thursday night, so I'm wearing a brace on my left leg. So you don't have to worry today. I'm not going to walk all the way out there to you. Stairs are a challenge. But I'll be up here most of the time, but I'll still walk side to side, so I'll still move around a little bit. John, if you know, he was the beloved disciple, the apostle who was closest to Jesus, perhaps. And he lived and he ministered in the great city of Ephesus, which was a Gentile city where Greek culture was very dominant. And he faced the task of communicating the coming of Jesus Christ, the Jewish Messiah, to this Greek crowd. But Jesus was the Savior of the world, so he needed to let them know he was there for them as well. And so John, he announced that the eternal God had entered time and space. We got that in John chapter 1. And that the invisible God had become visible. And that the spiritual had become physical in the presence of Jesus Christ. And the Creator had become part of His creation. So, we have in Jesus the very language of God in which God was seeking to communicate with people concerning Himself. Now, God works things out, and I think it was in His plan that I would be sitting this morning in Sunday school, in a Don Sunday school class, in the Spanish class. Because, as you just heard, God sent Jesus to communicate to us His love for us, His mercy for us, and His grace for us. Now, if you haven't ever sat through a Spanish class, or if you speak Spanish and you've sat through an English class, then you know what I'm about to say. It was hard to understand completely this morning. Adon did a great job, and the discussion was fantastic, but I only caught about a quarter of it, if that. And so Adon did a good job and filled me in on bits and pieces, but I was able to read the scripture in English and got it. But the only way I was going to get everything was if I immersed myself in Spanish and knew the language. Well, what did Jesus do? Jesus came to immerse himself in humanity and know what we're going through. Yes, he created us. Yes, he loved us. Yes, everything about us is through God. But he chose to come live, walk, communicate among us. He chose to come and be one of us. And that's what he did in Scripture. And John shares that very well in John chapter 1. And he's the very light of the world. And he dispels all chaos, all darkness, and he sends it all away. Well, today was imminent of God too. Because today John's going to present Jesus as the living bread of life, okay? And he couldn't have done this at a better time either, because after the service, we are going to be able to enjoy pasta, which is bread, okay? And we're also going to enjoy very sweet bread and cakes and all the other desserts that are over there. So God has a sense of humor. He created that. And so I think part of the reason the living bread came up today is because we're thinking about food. And when I think about bread, when I think about living bread from heaven, we know that Jesus sustains and supports life, and he's the living bread of heaven. But as I was thinking about that, my kids will attest to you, I love sandwiches, okay? Anytime they let me choose where to eat, I'm going to choose the sandwich shop most of the time. You know, there's Jimmy John's, there's, Jersey Mike's, there's all kinds of them. I'm not going to advertise for all of them, but I love every one of them. And up here, there's a lot more choices than there was in Edna. And I'm having a debate in my head all the time when I go, because I love rye bread and I love sourdough, and I have to decide which kind of bread I'm going to get. But one good thing, for all eternity, I don't have to worry, because Jesus is the bread of life. He's the bread I choose for that. So how many of y'all have that debate of bread when you go to sandwich shops? Any of y'all love bread and you go out there? Maybe you have to have bread with every meal. My mom raised me that way, you know. You had to have a biscuit, rolls, or cornbread with every meal. And then you had to have dessert at the end. Catherine wasn't raised that way, and so she is weirded out every time we go and eat with my mom, because she's like, why do we have to have bread and dessert every time? And I'm like, that's the way she was raised, that's the way I was raised, you know. And so I've broken myself from it because my wife wasn't raised that way. But bread is important to life. Think about it this way. Jesus didn't say he came as medicine that prevents disease. He didn't say that. He didn't come as, and this is, optimal for today. He didn't say he came as cake that's enjoyed as dessert. He also did not say he came as candy enjoyed for the sweet tooth. Who has a sweet tooth? What kind of candy do you like? Chocolate? Any particular kind of chocolate, or just chocolate in general? Okay, all right. So you know, my kids and my wife would tell you Snickers rules the roost, you know, but I don't like nuts in my candy, so, you know, I go Milky Way or something else, you know, but you know, when you're thinking about that, and I'm doing a good job for Bart today, too, speaking on the bread of life, because I'm going to make all you hungry, and then you're all going to stay for the spaghetti dinner and the cake auction. But when you think about it all, he didn't say any of those things I said. You know why? Because food is necessary for daily existence. You have to have food, and he said he's the bread of life, and that was essential for life to continue back then. What did they survive off of back in that day and age? Grain. They made bread cakes. They made loaves of bread. They did all kinds of things with grain. And so the fact that he's saying, I'm the bread of life, for us good Texans, you know where this is going, right? The commercial that was out so much when I was in my 20s and 30s, beef. It's what's for dinner. You know, we're good Texans, and so ours, he might have come in Texas and said, I am the steak of life, okay? You know, because that's what we like to exist off of. But they existed off of bread in this day and age, and so he said that he was the bread of life. And this chapter that I'm about to read to you, it follows the miracle of the feeding of the 5,000. And when you look at that miracle in John's gospel, Jesus used it as a parable to teach something about the life of the Spirit, the life of faith, the life of worship, and a life that leads to joy. When you think about that, he met a great physical need of that great multitude, and they were hungry. They wanted some food. They had been out there listening to him all day, and he used the experience to reveal divine truth on the spiritual level. He asserted to them during the meal that he came into the world on a much greater mission than that of merely satisfying physical needs. He came to meet their heart and their soul needs. What did he do when they started following him and he had a vast multitude? He sent part of them away. He said, if you're following me because you want free food again, you might as well go home. I'm not doing it again, basically, is what he told them. He said, I am not here to perform miracles. I'm here to change your life. I'm here to be your Savior. I'm here to touch you. So in John 6, 32 through 40, it says this, Jesus then said to them, truly, truly, I say to you, it is not Moses who has given you the bread out of heaven, but it is my Father who gives you the true bread out of heaven. For the bread of God is that which comes down out of heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, always give us this bread. Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me will not hunger, and he who believes in me will never thirst. But I said to you that you have seen me, and yet do not believe. All that the Father gives me will come to me, and the one who comes to me I will certainly not cast out. For I have come down from heaven not to do my own will, but the will of him who sent me. This is the will of him, uh, of, This is the will of him who sent me, that of all that he has given me, I lose nothing, but raise it up on the last day. For this is the will of my Father, that everyone who beholds the Son and believes in him will have eternal life, and I myself will raise him up on the last day. That's all of us. If we're in Christ, we're going to be raised up on the last day. In his claim to be the bread of life, our Lord used figurative language that identified him with the manna that the Israelites got when they were in the wilderness in the Old Testament. Even though God gave that through Moses back then, it was only for a limited time. He now, verse 32 tells us, he now provides spiritual bread on a continual basis. Jesus is not going away. He's available every minute, every hour, every moment in life. You can call upon Jesus Christ, the living bread, and he continues to satisfy our innermost being. And he takes those who trust him, who look to him for grace and guidance in life. And what does it say he does? He raises them up at the end times. What does that mean? That means we're going to go to eternal life. Whether we die here or whether he comes back, one day we'll be in eternity with God. So let me make four observations based on this scripture today. The first one I want to say is there's a great hunger in our world. The first hunger that I see in our world is that there's a great physical hunger in the world today. So I mentioned Snickers a while ago, right? How many people have seen Snickers commercials? All right. And so in Snickers commercials, you see this grump, this person who is not happy, whatever actor or actress, singer, whatever that they portray. And when they eat the Snickers, then they become more pleasant looking, right? And they become happier because Snickers satisfy, right? But Snickers only satisfies for that long, right? It's made out of sugar. It's not going to last. Here we see that the bread of life satisfies how long? Till eternity. We know that Jesus will satisfy us always. The population explosion here on earth has created multitudes in areas of the world where there's very few essentials for them to survive. In some metropolitan areas, even here in America, poverty has created famine conditions. Our governments, churches, parachurch organizations, they all are trying to meet the challenge of feeding the hungry. And these physical hunger conditions present every one of us with an invitation and a commission to help each and every day. Remember, Jesus said we needed to meet their needs before we met their spiritual needs. So we need to meet the physical needs. We need to do that. But my second point under this one is that there's a greater spiritual hunger among the nations of the earth. Think about it this way. That physical hunger that's out there, the spiritual hunger is even higher. It is haunting the dissatisfaction that people have today. Think about people's hearts. Even back in the 80s when I was a teenager, there were a lot more who were happy. There was a lot more happiness in the world. And now people's hearts are downcast because they're dissatisfied with what the world offers, with what maybe a church of their childhood offers, or they feel incomplete because they don't know God through Jesus Christ in a personal relationship. There's a spiritual hunger. And you know who's called to meet that one too? The church. We're called to meet the physical and the spiritual. And then my last point under this one is mankind is hungry. Mankind is hungry today. And let me break that down for you. There's several different hungers. There's a great hunger for truth. John 14:6, Jesus says, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father except by me. Jesus Christ is the truth. In a world where there's a lot of gray, Jesus comes in there and says, I am the truth. And all you have to do is believe in him, trust in him, and follow him, and you'll be living the truth. The second hunger that's out there is there's a great hunger in all of mankind for abundant life. And that's also in that verse, John 14:6. He says, I am the life. And there's abundant life that's mentioned. Jesus Christ is the source of abundant life. Now that makes me go to John 10:10. What does it say there? It says the thief. Who's the thief? Satan. And so Satan comes to steal, kill, and destroy. We sometimes feel that way from the world, right? We feel like the world just wants to take our money, take our time, take our patience, and just leave us barren. Well, what does Jesus come for? I have come that they may have life and have it. How? Abundantly. I had one scripture translation when I was a teenager that translated that verse as, I have come to give them life and give it to them to the extreme. You know, you think that. And that used to be the most popular word back when I was doing youth ministry. You know, you would hear all the time, it's church to the extreme. And it would be what they would talk about. And that version always stuck with me because here's Jesus. He's the source of life. And we're going to have abundant life in him. We're going to have it abundantly or to the extreme. And when you think about that, there's also a great hunger, not only for truth, not only for life, but also for love. People hunger for love. And Jesus is the way that the love of God reaches out to us. That's how we connect with the love of God. Oftentimes, you know, you can go to Scripture and you find all kinds of commandments in there. Jesus gave us two, right? And I can do it in four words. It's love God, love others. Okay? Love God, love others. That's what Jesus simplified the whole Bible to. He said, love God, love others. If you love God, you're going to accept Jesus as your Savior because he sent his Son for you. If you love others, you're going to share that salvation with everybody that you see. And the hunger for love is going to be met. There's also a great hunger for forgiveness. And Jesus is the way, the only way. Go back to John 14:6. He says, I am the way. He's the only way to God, and he makes forgiveness possible for every one of us. The next one I found is that there's a great hunger for peace among people. Now, do we have a whole lot of peace in our world right now? I could just say one nation, right? Syria. And we're dropping bombs over there, right? And however you feel about that, I'm not talking about that this morning. I'm just saying that peace is not of this world. Peace comes from God. And as the Prince of Peace, Jesus helps us to have harmonious relationships with others. We can have peace in our marriage. We can have peace in our friendships. We can even have peace in our national relations when you trust God. Now, when we pray to God, when we seek His face, peace will eventually come. Now we know from Scripture that full peace is never coming until Christ returns. But peace, in a temporary way, can be here now. And there's also a great hunger for meaning and purpose in life. How many of y'all know exactly what you're supposed to do right now with the rest of your life? Hands? Oh, okay. But some of y'all have already retired. So shouldn't you already know, right? No, not at all. Okay, Pete's back there really strongly shaking his head no. And when you think about that, God, remember, he's a lamp for our feet. And so as you're walking, you only see the next step. So I would demonstrate with the steps, but I already told you I'm not going up and down very often today. So as you look, you only get the next step. God will only reveal where you're going next. And some of the time, he only reveals the next person you're going to talk to, the next person you're going to bless. And the meaning and purpose in our lives is to share the gospel of Christ, is to be a blessing to someone. Because the last one that I saw is there's a hunger for eternal life. We want to spend eternity with God. Because if I were to do this again, I can come up with questions all morning of how people will never raise their hand. How many of y'all want to spend all eternity away from God and in hell? All right, I don't see anybody. All right. And so we know that eternal life with God is the ultimate goal. We want to spend time with him. Romans 10:13 says, call on the Lord and you will be saved. All those who call upon the Lord Jesus Christ will be saved. And Christ alone is the one that can give us that eternal life. If you don't call upon Jesus, you will not be saved, in other words. And so we look at that and we know that there's a great hunger in our world. Well, my second point that I'm going to break down for y'all is that the food of the world doesn't satisfy the hunger of our souls. And I think to Luke chapter 12, 13 through 21, where there's this farmer, and he raised a bunch of grain. And when he went to harvest, he brought it in, and it filled his barn. So he's got a barn full of grain, and that sounds fantastic. But he still had more that he had harvested. And so naturally, he just gave out that grain to the city surrounding and all those in need, right? Not one bit, right? What did he do? He said, I will raise another barn, and I will fill that, and then I will kick back, be comfortable, relax, and enjoy life. And what did God say to him? You fool, tonight your life will be taken from you. He lost everything. And God said, who's going to get all this wealth you've stored up? We're not supposed to have a barn full to satisfy us. We shouldn't have a garage full to satisfy us. We should not have an attic full to supply us. We have a God who supplies all our needs, right? And so we need to trust in Him and give when we are asked to. The other thing that I saw is that pleasure will leave a bad taste in your mouth. How many of y'all have ever, this is going to result in some hands, okay? How many of y'all have ever gone on a vacation out of town? All right. How many of y'all, about 3/4 of the way, maybe 5/6 of the way, started doing this? Man, I can't wait to get home. How many of y'all do that? All right. Because when you're away from home, too much pleasure, too much sensational things make you tired. And you get tired and you just want to do what? You want to ease back in your chair. You want to lay on your bed. You want to enjoy the comforts that you've surrounded yourself with in your own home. Pleasure sometimes leaves a bad taste in the mouth. Vacation is pleasure, but too much pleasure causes you to long for less pleasure. Knowledge. I know we have some educators in the building, and appreciate y'all, and know that y'all educate, and knowledge is important, right? Okay? And it's important to educate yourself completely, right? But knowledge cannot satisfy the hole in your soul, if you will. Knowledge is never going to satisfy your heart's desire for something further. Think about the whole book of Ecclesiastes with Solomon. All is vanity. He had everything, but he said all is vanity, because it didn't matter, because he knew everything, he gained everything, but it did not matter because it was all vanity. Knowledge, as wonderful as it is, and I encourage y'all to seek knowledge all the time, especially biblical knowledge. If you get chances to take classes, to read the Bible, to be in Sunday school, you know, it's fantastic, and knowledge is great, but it's never gonna satisfy the deepest hungers of your heart. Power and position also do not satisfy the hunger of the soul. Power can often be frustrating. You know, I think back to Howard Hughes from years ago. He amassed millions, billions, if you will, and was one of the richest mans in all, men in all the world. And he ended up losing his mind and becoming a recluse, and he died alone. He did not, power and position did not satisfy his soul. He didn't know the Lord. He needed the Lord. Well, Christ, He is the living bread sent from heaven. He will satisfy all our needs. Humanity is hungry for two primary reasons. First off, sin has made people hungry for God. And I know the youth are back getting ready for the, some of them are back getting ready for the spaghetti dinner and the auction and all that, but you were looking down. I thought you weren't out here. Cameron, I know on the mission trip, you ran faithfully every day, right? Okay. And you ran and ran and ran, and you would run around that park, and I know you've run for your school and all that, right? And so at the end of the race, if I were to hand you a bottle, would it quench your thirst? Depends on what's in it, right? What if it had salt water in it? Would that quench your thirst? Not at all, right? How many people have ever been to the ocean and you get that mouthful of salt water and then you're just thirsty the rest of the afternoon? Salt water does not satisfy, okay? And so when you think about it, Christ is the bread of life. Sin has made people hungry for God, when you live a life in sin, away from God, you'll be just like if Cameron goes and runs, and what distance do you run? 400. You go run a complete lap around the track, you're going to need water at the end of it. I might need oxygen, but you know, you go and run, and salt water is not going to satisfy you. Also, over here, we're going to have a bunch of desserts, and I know several of y'all, and I've had cake from this young lady, so Miss Kathy, when you make your cake, is sawdust an important ingredient? No? No? Okay. How many of y'all, if sawdust was used to make the cake, would bid on the cake over there? You know, probably not many of y'all. Sawdust, just like the salt water, would not fill and feed your stomach. Just like salt water doesn't satisfy thirst. And so when you look at that, what satisfies? The bread of life. You have to leave that sin behind because God has created in us a hunger for himself. In fact, God made us that way with a nature just like his own, and he gave us a hunger down in our heart that cannot be satisfied with anything else. No riches, no fame, no power, nothing can satisfy except for God himself. We have a void in our soul, and people try to satisfy it by piling up money, by studying books, by enjoying all the pleasures that the world has to offer, but that God-shaped vacuum, think of it like a puzzle piece. You were born with and I don't know what shape God takes, but you were born with a God-shaped hole in your soul. And you need that final puzzle piece to be satisfied in life. And so when you say, Jesus, be my Savior, that's when that final piece gets there and your life is satisfied. Because Christ himself is the bread sent from God to meet the deepest needs of our hearts. And we can't be satisfied with anything except for that. Well, my fourth point is that Christ is the bread sent from heaven for all people. So, first off, I wrote down that Christ is the bread sent from heaven for the chief of all sinners. Now, we know from Scripture that Paul called himself the chief of all sinners. But I'll tell you this, I think I've outdone him. And in fact, if you don't think you've outdone Paul, then you don't have the right attitude toward your sin. Because it doesn't matter what you've done, sin separates you from God. And Christ is the bread of life available to the chief among all sinners, and that being you. Christ is also the bread of heaven available to the hungriest of the hungry. So, I know that they have a lot of spaghetti over there, and I know my daughter loves Italian food. How many of y'all love Italian food? All right. How many of y'all are hungry and wish I would be quiet so you can get over it? Okay. All right. Thanks for being honest. All right. Kalani, I'll remember that. All right. And so, Christ is also the bread of heaven. What did Christ say there? He said he satisfies the thirstiest of the thirsty. Now, we learn that salt water doesn't satisfy, but Jesus, the living water, does. And then we know that Christ is the bread of heaven available to the poorest of the poor. Now, Jesus told us in Scripture, how long would we have the poor among us? Always, right? Until he returns. And then there will be no poor any longer. But we will never be too poor to get the bread of heaven. You might be too poor to afford beans from the grocery store, but you will never be too poor to afford Jesus and the mercy that he offers to everyone as the bread of heaven. Well, Christ is also the bread of heaven needed by the best of the best among us. Now, and I talk to you guys all the time, but I'm going to go Kingston this time because you love football, right? And you want to be better than Tom Brady one day, right? You know, because, you know, everybody always refers to him as what? The G-O-A-T. And what does G-O-A-T mean? Greatest of all time. Now, back when I was in school, if you were the GOAT, you were the one that made the team lose the game, okay? But now if you're the GOAT, apparently you're the greatest of all time. And so even if you are the greatest of all time in whatever profession you're in, whatever sport you're in, whatever class you're in, guys, whatever point in life you're at, if you are the greatest at it, You still need Jesus. You still need the Savior. He is the bread of life, and He offers Himself to you because the best of the best needs Jesus. Well, let's go the opposite way. A few years back, there was a song when she was first starting out from Taylor Swift. I don't even remember the name of it, but she'd say, "Why you gotta be so mean," or something like that. How's that go? Okay, is that it? Okay. I thought you were gonna break out into song for me, Melissa. All right. And so, but in that song, she talks about people who bullied her. And we know bullying is a big issue nowadays in school, but Christ is the bread of heaven who offers Himself for the meanest of the mean among us. So what does that mean? You imagine, picture the face of the person who has been the meanest to you in all of life. Everybody got a picture? Christ loves that person. He wants to save that person. And He wants us to be faithful in presenting Him to those people. We have to present the bread of heaven to them. Christ is the bread of heaven that makes life possible. Think about it this way. Without bread, you would cease to exist. Without food, you would die. People cannot live without food. And without the bread of life, people cannot know God. Christ is the bread that strengthens us, nourishes us, makes us grow, and makes development possible in your spiritual walk. Christ is the bread that satisfies perfectly. How did He put it? You will never hunger again. You will never thirst again once you come to Him. Jesus declared that they who hunger and thirst after righteousness will be filled in Matthew 5, verse 6. And think about it this way. Jesus is adequate to meet every single need in our lives. We cannot live our natural life without food, just like we cannot live our spiritual life without Jesus, the bread of life. Christ is the best food upon which our souls can feed. Think about it this way, too. Johnny, I know you joked about the spaghetti lunch, but the bread of life, it's free to every one of us. We don't have to be a visitor. We don't have to go to Him the first time only. Every time you go to Him, He says, yes, it's a gift freely given. I am the bread of life. I will satisfy you. I give of myself to you. Salvation is yours. You're forgiven. And you are restored to God my Father. But how many of y'all have ever had a child who you had to spoon feed, right? Okay, back when they were younger, right? And then as we go through life, we eventually get to the point where we become old enough where we're spoon fed, right? But in between, we feed ourselves, right? Because how many of y'all that your hands and your arms work don't feed yourself? How many of y'all have your wife or your husband come over and feed you? All right. Or, you know, nobody? James, you don't have mom come feed you? Okay, all right. But was that a yes, Barry? You have Trudy feed you? No, not at all? Okay, all right. but you know, when you think about that, we learn that as a child, right? We learn to feed ourselves. Well, the bread of life is offered. The bread of life is available. It's free, and we must eat our own food. We must go to God individually and have that personal relationship. When our Lord speaks about Himself, He's referring to the incarnation when He talks about the bread. We took the Lord's Supper a few weeks back, and you know that He says, "My life was given for you." And He also speaks of His blood, and He says, "That was spilled for you to forgive your sins." As we trust Him and think about all that He came to do for us, hopefully, we all will see that He is the bread, the living bread from heaven, and He is the one we need to trust when we are down on life, when we think there's no way out, when we think nothing can improve my life. Jesus can. In fact, back in the, I think, 90s, there was a campaign called "Jesus is the Answer." It doesn't matter what your questions. And so, Jesus is the answer to whatever you're going through today. If you're visiting with us, thank you for coming and worshiping with us. And please do stay for that spaghetti dinner. But more so, come forward and get to know Jesus as your Lord and Savior, and you'll never hunger for the rest of your life. If you're a member here and you know Jesus and you have known Jesus, see Him as that sweet dessert that He is. That He is just so wonderful. And spend time with Him. Enjoy Christ as the living bread in your life. He is there to bring you to God, His Father, and He's there to spend time with you. He'll be your best friend. If you're lacking a best friend, just talk to Jesus. He loves you. He wants to spend time with you. And it doesn't matter if you were saved 30 years ago, He still cares about you today. He cares about you every day, and He wants to give you that abundant life that was in John 10:10, where it says, I have come to give them life and give them life abundantly. Y'all stand. I'm going to say a prayer, and then we'll have an invitation. Come forward, and I will speak with you about salvation, about joining this church. Great church family. We laugh together, as you heard today. We cry together. I've seen tears before. We live life together as a church, and we'd love for you to be a part of that. But do find out about Jesus today. If He's not your Savior already, come and find out about Him today. Let's pray. Dear Heavenly Father, I thank You this morning for Jesus Christ. He's the bread of life. He's the only thing we need in life. To be a success, we need Jesus. To be the greatest of all time, we need Jesus. If we're at our lowest of lows, we need Jesus. Jesus, we need You. May You come into the hearts of each and every person in here. And may we feast upon this living bread of life that You offer freely to anyone who asks You to come into their life. May we all be able to leave here and say, Jesus is my Savior, and I'm following Him as my Lord. I pray for every heart in here. Touch them. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.